Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesdays are the time to strengthen your roster depth. It's the Through the Wire podcast with Paul Kelly and Tom Brawley from FantasyGuru.com.
Welcome aboard, everyone. The week three edition of Through the Wire here at FantasyGuru.com. I'm staff writer Paul Kelly, along with senior writer Tom Brawley. And up on the site right now, the stock watch for the week. Great article we do. We watch all the games from the weekend and break them down, and we've got our list of players there who are either seeing their stock move in the right direction or guys who are maybe moving in the wrong direction. But it's a nice recap for the weekend. It's the Stock Watch article. You can get that right now at fantasyguru.com. John Hansen's week three projections likely to be out late tonight or early tomorrow, so definitely check for those. And Tom, the DFS guru up at fantasyguru.com. I mean, this is brand new for this season. I know a lot of people are using it, and it's really helping a lot of people win in DFS.
Yeah, I've used it myself, and I'm off to a pretty good start here. The first 2 weeks have padded my my bankroll a little bit here. Going to have a lot more fun going forward with it.
Cool stuff. Make sure you check that out. DFS Guru at fantasyguru.com. Okay, so waiver wire, we take a look at it each week with an eye towards guys who can help you in the short term, other guys who maybe can help you in the long term. We'll go through position by position. We'll start with the QBs. A couple of guys we mentioned last week, still available in a lot of leagues. Tyrod Taylor put up big numbers this week for Buffalo, playing from behind. Andy Dalton continues to roll for Cincinnati. Blake Bortles, I want to get your take on him. He was not great in week one. We liked what we saw out of him over the summer, but week two, he seemed a bit more comfortable. 273 yards, couple of TDs there. Marquise Lee getting back, getting healthy. Julius Thomas may only be another week away. So it looks like he's getting more and more weapons added to the mix there in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and they made a mistake in week one, not getting their star, Allen Robinson, involved. And they made sure early and often. They hit a 68-yard touchdown pass to him right off the bat. They were throwing it deep. I mean, it was the stuff that we saw from Blake Bortles in the summer there. So, you know, we're seeing some, you know, that positive momentum starting to get back here. And Julius Thomas, he practiced, he put in two limited practices last week. He could be back this week. All of a sudden, he has a legit, cast of guys at receiver if, Marquise Lee can start to look like the second-round player that he was. And we also got to look at the slate of games they have coming up here. They got New England, who's been thrown on. Indianapolis, who we saw last night, they couldn't slow down Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then they have Tampa, who Mariota lit them up in week one. So, I mean, I'm not going to feel great if I have to start Blake Bortles in the next couple weeks, but maybe you're in a tough spot because you lost Tony Romo, or you lost, you potentially could be losing Drew Brees here. So, if you're in a tough spot, Blake Bortles might be a guy to take a look at here the next couple weeks.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, New York Jets, multiple TDs now in each of his first two games, has a matchup coming up this weekend against the Eagles. Last year as a Texan, Fitzpatrick ended up his game against the Eagles as a top 10 fantasy QB. He's a guy who doesn't get a whole lot of respect in fantasy circles, but in Chan Gailey's offense, we've seen him be a pretty productive guy over the years.
Yeah, one thing I liked that I've seen from him here early on, and we've always seen this from Ryan Fitzpatrick. He gets it to his good players. He's been pounding Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker with targets. So, that's one great thing that we like to see because those guys are going to make plays for him. Yes, we haven't seen it much this year so far. He's going to make mistakes at some point. But, he's kept those to a minimum, and he's getting his best players the ball. So I like what I've seen so far.
Colin Kaepernick, a lot of people wondering about him, Tom, so I'll get your take on this. Obviously, a big week statistically in week two, 33 of 46, 335 yards, couple of TDs, ran for 51 yards as well. Clearly, we can't expect that every week out of Colin Kaepernick. In fact, we may never see that again this season out of Colin Kaepernick. But if he is on the waiver wire, I think a lot of people are going to look at that week two performance and run out and get him. But what's your take on Kaepernick?
Yeah, he's a guy I'm leaving on the waiver wire. That was a classic. He did nothing until the fourth quarter when they were down multiple scores. It was all garbage time production. Most week, the 49ers aren't as good as they looked in week one, and they're not as bad as they looked in week two. So I would expect them to try to run the ball most weeks with, a healthy Carlos Hyde, play good defense. So we're not going to see, you know, these type of numbers going forward from Kaepernick. He's going to be 200 yards passing, you know, 40, 50 yards rushing. He's a guy that, you know, not very intriguing for me right now.
Yeah, right. And with Tony Romo out, we have to at least mention Brandon Weeden there for the Cowboys. But without Dez Bryant and Brandon Weeden being, frankly, not that good, it's hard to get excited about Brandon Weeden. But he is a starting quarterback in the NFL now, so let's bring him up.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to feel really good about him. Now, he's in a tough spot here. Terrence Williams is his top receiver. Yeah, he'll have Jason Witten in the middle of the field, though. But they're not going to want to throw more than 30 times a game with Brandon Weeden. So they're going to try to keep his volume down. They're going to try to run the ball, get back to establishing that run game that we saw a little bit last year. You know, it might be a little tougher to run it, though, this year with, you know, defenses are going to be ganging up on it now. So Whedon's going to have to make a couple plays each week, but I'm not really liking his cast of players here to make much of a fantasy impact here in the next couple weeks.
Let's move on to running back. Lots of viable options here, especially in smaller leagues. And if you're in a smaller league and Matt Jones is still available, Tom, you run out, you pick up this guy right now. Alfred Morris is running well, but Matt Jones is running even better. And both of these guys clearly going to be in the mix every week, but this is really starting to look like a timeshare. And we've talked about this quite a bit here at fantasyguru.com. Matt Jones, actually a better fit for the way they want to run the ball there in Washington.
Yeah, we begged people to draft Matt Jones at the end of drafts this preseason. You know, we saw just from a couple of games there that he was the better athlete. He's the better runner. He's a receiver. He can actually catch the ball out of the backfield like Alfred, mm-hmm. Which Alfred Morris can't do. So this was just only a matter of time. Now, with all that said, it's not like Alfred Morris is totally gone here. This is, you know, at best probably going to be a two-headed monster, you know, at least for the next couple of weeks. It's not like Morris is playing bad or anything like that. But we like that they're finally getting Matt Jones involved here. And, you know, I would expect, you know, 10 to 15 touches for Matt Jones every game going forward. So as we saw this week, he can do something with 10 to 15 touches. So he's probably in that flex option right now, and he's got that long-term, you know, potential to be a stud here, like what Jeremy Hill did in the second half of last year. So, you know, he's a flex guy right now, but he could be an RB, you know, two RB1 by the end of the year.
Yeah, and that Washington offensive line really doing a job right now. Deion Lewis in New England, we talked about him after the week one game. We were unsure as to whether or not that would carry over into week two and potentially beyond. Well, it did carry over into week two, played 85% of the snaps this past week, now 100 or more total yards in each of his first two games. And LeGarrette Blount was back and active this week for the Pats, but tough matchup there against the Bills. They hardly used him at all. It was all Deion Lewis.
Yeah, that was a classic Belichick game plan. They went into that game saying, we're not even going to try to run the ball. So Deion Lewis played pretty much exclusively, like you said. LeGarrette Blount, we're sorry if you used him in any of your lineups this week because he didn't do any good there. So is that going to happen every week? You know, probably not. They're probably going to work in the running game, but because they're not going to be playing a tough Bills defense every week that shuts down, you know, opponents running games. So, but as we saw, Deion Lewis is going to be involved every week. He's at worst a Shane Vereen type going forward. So that means, you know, he's at least a flex guy for you every week. So he's a guy, if he's still sitting on your waiver wire, go use some of your budget or use that top waiver priority to go get him.
In Atlanta, Tevin Coleman out with ribs, probably going to miss a couple of games here. So Devontae Freeman, a guy who was in the mix anyway, now going to be shouldering a larger load, at least in the short term here. If he's a guy who was dropped, he certainly has some value here, higher than expected, at least over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and he's a guy that we kind of liked a little bit more in the preseason because he has, you know, more PPR potential. Coleman, he looked like the better runner in the first two games there, but now he gets a great chance to, you know, potentially win over this job to get more of a role even when Coleman does get back. So, you know, he's still a guy. Freeman, you know, he's going to get most of the carries now. It's only Terran Ward there, you know, that's going to be getting carries from him. But we like Freeman because he can catch the ball out of the backfield. So he's even more intriguing for PPR formats here for the next couple weeks.
Duke Johnson in Cleveland. We know he had the injury issues over the summer. We didn't really get to see a whole lot of him in the preseason. Played a bit in week one, played a bit more in week two. 53% of the snaps this past weekend, splitting time there with Isaiah Crowell, but actually out-snapped him here in week number two. Be nice if they could throw him a swing pass or something, though, Tom. I mean, no pass targets yet this year for Duke Johnson. Can we get him going in the pass game, please?
Yeah, that, we touched on that a bit last week. I mean, with Johnny at quarterback, he's not going to check it down. He's chucking it deep or he's running it with, you know, he's not going to check it out. He's run it. He's going to use his legs if he's going to, you know, check it down, so to speak. So he really will have more value if Josh McCown is back and healthy this week and is the week three starter. So we've yet to really hear about that this week, but you would think that Josh McCown is getting closer to a return. So Duke would have more value if they go with the veteran quarterback.
I think a lot of people checking out the box scores after week two, they turn to that Tennessee Titans game and they see Dexter McCluster with 10 carries, 98 yards and four receptions for 26 yards. A lot of people are going to pick him up this week, Tom. I'm not one of those people. I stay away from this Titans backfield if at all possible. Dexter McCluster is a guy. We've seen him through the years. We know what he is. This game is an aberration, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Let somebody else go pick him up. I mean, this Titans backfield, oh, it's just you're chasing your tail if you're trying to use these guys. You know, Sankey, what did he do, 12 for 42 this week? I mean, he gets outplayed by McCluster. McCluster, I mean, he has like one game a year. So I feel bad for anybody that's trying to get something out of this Titans backfield for fantasy. It's just best to avoid it at this point.
In Arizona, Chris Johnson, Arians is saying he's still going to be the guy here moving forward until Ellington gets back. David Johnson, they're saying he's going to see an increase in touches. Frankly, he deserves it. He's been scoring and doing very well there. In Detroit, the backfield there, Joique Bell seems to be really falling out of favor. He's getting out-snapped by not only Ameer Abdullah, but by Theo Riddick as well. And I know they were playing from behind here in week two. But anytime you've got a back who's seeing the field as often as Theo Riddick, 45% of the snaps here in week number two, and as a pass-catching back, he's somebody that you at least need to consider in PPR leagues.
Absolutely. And to put it frankly, the Lions aren't running the ball very well right now. So they're going to have to throw it a bit more than they anticipated coming in the season. Joique Bell's been absolutely worthless. He's working his way out of this backfield. So Riddick could be more involved here. He could be that complimentary guy if they decide to start giving him Abdullah, you know, exclusive carries out of this backfield.
James Starks, obviously a name we need to mention here. If you own Eddie Lacy, you need to be owning James Starks. We saw it last week with Lacy out. It's not like they go with a committee behind him. It is all James Starks. They really didn't miss a beat with Starks in there this Sunday night against the Seattle Seahawks. So we'll see about Lacy's status here in week three. I think he's expected to go, Tom, but James Starks, a guy you need to be ready to plug in there if you do own Lacy.
Yeah, if you own Lacy, you might just want to go out there and, you know, pick him up just in case. You know, he might be down to a game time decision there on Sunday morning. So if you don't have many great options behind him, and that, like you brought up, that's a great point about the Packer, you know, backfield. He is the true handcuff. He does get exclusive carries whenever Lacy is out. So that is one good thing about, you know, if you have Starks as the handcuff for Lacy this week.
Bilal Powell, New York Jets, double-digit touches now in each of the first two games. I know Ivory a little bit banged up, not exactly at 100% right now. But Powell clearly is the guy who's next in the pecking order behind Ivory. They like him as a passing down back as well. Is he a guy that you think has some value?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ivory has a long history of, you know, battling injuries here, and he's already got a groin issue 2 weeks into the season. So, you know, Zach Stacy's not really a guy that's in the mix, and Ridley is going to be out at least a couple more weeks. So Powell is the only guy back there. And if you're an Ivory owner and you're a little bit scared by this groin issue, I would consider owning Powell.
D'Angelo Williams, this is an interesting name because we've got Le'Veon Bell coming back this week, Tom. And Williams, let's face it, he was the number one fantasy running back in PPR leagues over the first 2 weeks of the season. So if you drafted him and hoped to get some points out of him the first couple of weeks, he did better than even you could have hoped for. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's a guy who ends up being dropped in some leagues, Tom, because with Lev Bell coming back, I think the expectation is that Williams really won't have much of a role here. But based on what we saw the first couple of weeks, I'm going to pick up D'Angelo Williams in the event that Lev Bell goes down. You're looking at an RB1 handcuff here.
Yeah, as you said, I mean, if you drafted a Bell early and you handcuffed him with Williams, you are ecstatic. You thought you might be hurting after those first 2 weeks. He probably won you two games here with his performance. And frankly, we saw Bell playing 90% of the snaps last year when they didn't have a legitimate backup. He gets hurt eventually. The Steelers are going to be, you know, a little bit smarter here with how they use Bell going forward. They want him to last the whole season. They're looking at this for the long haul. Maybe, you know, D'Angelo plays 25 to 30 snaps and they, you know, they reduce Bell's touches, you know, maybe fewer touches this season, you know, compared to last year at the end of the year. So Williams is going to be a factor no matter what. I'd be hesitant to use him actually in a fantasy lineup, but as you were saying, if Bell goes out, He's a legit RB1.
Yep, great stash and hope option there, D'Angelo Williams. Let's transition to wide receivers. Michael Crabtree, we had heard good things about him this summer, reports that he was the star of Raiders camp. Big performance in week two, 9 grabs for 111 yards, had a TD against the Ravens as well. Derek Carr, thankfully that hand injury didn't turn into anything. He's playing well right now. And so it's Cooper and it's Crabtree, and there's not a whole lot else in this Raider passing game. So is he worth a pickup right now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially in PPR formats, he hasn't been great after the catch here the last couple of years, but he showed a little bit last week. Yeah. And, you know, he was a guy that was on our radar at the beginning of the summer. Like you said, we heard some good things and then he just went quiet here. It did nothing in the preseason games, did nothing in week one. So he's not a guy I'm going to go all in on. Maybe this was just a 1 week, you know, aberration, but he's still a guy that should be owned in every league. So I'd give him a consideration in PPR format.
James Jones is a guy who needs to be owned at this point. Clearly he is a red zone favorite. Aaron Rodgers, probably going to be a double-digit touchdown guy this year. In Seattle, Doug Baldwin, Tom, has been a guy that I've never been a fan of. I never liked having him on my fantasy teams, but I want to bring him up here because 7 receptions in back-to-back games to start the season here makes me take notice. So where are you on Doug Baldwin? Can he consistently produce at this level?
I don't. Like we were talking about with the Titans backfield earlier, usually with Seahawks receivers, they're the same way. It feels like you're always chasing your tail. But, you know, Baldwin is a guy that should be owned. He should be your fourth or fifth receiver, you hope. And then once buys start to roll around here, not this week, but next week in week four, he's a guy that can be your number three receiver or your flex if you're, you know, desperate to fill out a lineup. But he's a guy I don't put a whole lot of trust in still, even with back-to-back 7 catch games. I mean, we saw in week one, it was 7 catches, but for 35 yards. So he's capable of those kind of games. So he's a guy that should be owned, but not a guy I'm real – you know, not a guy I'm going out there and actively looking for.
Boy, we watched the game last night and the Colts offense really just can't get it going right now. But the one guy that I think we all feel pretty good about is Dante Moncrief and what he's gotten done here over the first couple of weeks, touchdowns in each of the first two games, 13 catches through the first two games. And Andre Johnson in front of him, frankly, looks like a shell of what he used to be. And Moncrief is really the one guy in the passing game who's making plays right now.
Yeah, you nailed it right on the head there, Paul. I mean, it's just a combination. The guy looks like he's starting to merge, and Andre Johnson, you know, he's just been an invisible here. He's a guy that looks like he might be done here. So it's a combination of those two things, and, you know, get to play with Andrew Luck. This Colts offense, it's been very miserable here the first 2 weeks, but it was against the Jets. It was against the Bills. It's going to get better. They're going to start averaging 30-plus points a game again, I would think. So, you know, Moncrief is a guy, I don't know how he's still sitting out on your waiver wire, but if he is, you need to own him.
In Miami, a couple of names worth mentioning here. Devontae Parker, I know he hasn't done anything the first 2 weeks, but he's a guy who's worth a pickup. How about Rishard Matthews, who's been very involved the first couple of weeks, went over 100 yards here in week two, out-snapped Greg Jennings, out-snapped Kenny Still. So he's the second guy, really, behind Landry here the first couple of weeks for the Dolphins. And maybe when Parker comes back, that dynamic changes a little bit. But right now, Rishard Matthews has been very productive in this passing game.
Yeah, the Dolphins have really struggled to get the ball downfield, and that's why they're really waiting on Devontae Parker to kind of be that vertical threat. They need him or Kenny Stills or somebody to start getting the ball, getting downfield so Tannehill can get the ball downfield. But until that time, they have Jarvis Landry. He's great underneath, works the intermediate areas there. But Rishard Matthews is really almost a Jarvis Landry light kind of type. He's going to do the same type of things. He's going to be a PPR type of, option. So he's a guy I would take a buy, take a quick buy here this week just to see if he can continue that success. He is playing, like you said, almost 80% of the snaps. So he has a chance to keep it going. Greg Jennings, he had a bad drop in the few highlights that I did see. Yeah. He's a guy that's kind of fading. Kenny Stills is in the doghouse, so. Yeah, I think you have to take a look at Matthews this week.
You and I were talking before the podcast about what Tom Brady has been able to do here and really doing it with only two legitimate receiving weapons in Gronkowski and Edelman. Aaron Dobson did have a pretty good game this week, 7 catches, 87 yards on 8 targets. Brandon LaFell, we saw last year, was a very productive receiver in this offense. He's still going to miss considerable time here. Is Aaron Dobson someone who maybe could pick up the slack with LaFell out?
I want to believe the kid has a lot of talent. He's done this before, though. He always, gets your hopes up. I'm not going to go all in on going to get Aaron Dobson. But if I was in a 14 team or it's, a deeper format or deeper benches, I'd give him a, quick buy here, to see if he can continue it. But I'm very skeptical, to say the least, that he's actually broken through here.
Yeah. How about Leonard Hankerson for the Atlanta Falcons? We heard good things about him all summer long. He won that number 3 wide receiver position for the Falcons. And here in week 2, caught 6 balls for 77 yards and a TD. Roddy White, on the other hand, had just 1 target in this game. And, we've talked about the upside that Harry Douglas used to have for the Falcons. And anytime Julio went down or Roddy missed any time, Harry Douglas would step right in and be a very good PPR option. I look at Leonard Hankerson kind of the same way, but it was just interesting in week 2 that even with Roddy White out there, Hankerson got all the targets basically, and Roddy just had the 1.
Yeah, it was kind of a bizarre game. I'm just shocked at how invisible Roddy White was. I don't think that's going to be the case going forward, but my radar definitely, he's definitely on my radar now. I mean, is he going to be that 2-3 with Roddy? I mean, if I'm a Roddy owner right now, I'm a little scared. But, if Julio or Roddy goes out this year, Hankerson is always a must start. So, he's a guy to take a look at this week, especially if you own one of those other two Falcon receivers.
Yeah, and if Coleman is going to miss a little bit of time here, maybe the Falcons throw it even more over the next couple of weeks. Travis Benjamin in Cleveland, I need to bring him up because this group of receivers is uninspiring, to say the least, and they need somebody to step up and make some plays here. And really, over the first couple of weeks of the season, that guy has been Travis Benjamin. He's got 4 touchdowns now, both as a receiver and as a returner, of 50-plus yards. So he's making big plays. Manziel seems to click with him a little bit here, and I know it's hard to trust anybody in this Cleveland passing game, especially because we don't even know who the quarterback is going to be long term. But I think a lot of people will at least be looking at Travis Benjamin. So give me your thoughts on Benjamin in Cleveland.
Yeah, I know he's probably going to be a guy that a lot of people run out there and get this week, but he's really just a straight line guy. That's just going to, he can only make plays downfield. So that's why I'm a little skeptical, about going and picking him up and expecting him to be a consistent option for fantasy. He's the classic boom or bust guy. He's either going to score you a touchdown or catch you 1 ball for 15 yards. So I'll let somebody else go. He still only played 47% of the snaps this week, so it's not even like he's earned the starting job. Maybe he should be playing more snaps here because, the Brown receivers are a joke, with Brian Hartline and Dwayne Bowe. and Andrew Hawkins. So, you know, maybe Benjamin has earned the right for more snaps, but he's a guy that they just, hey, run deep and we'll throw it to you, and that's about all he can do. So I'm not ready to go, you know, blow my fab budget on him.
Let's hit on a couple of tight ends here. Quick note on Julius Thomas. He may be returning sooner rather than later. So if he was dropped after the draft and he's out there, he could play as early as this week. So Julius Thomas, a guy to take a look at for sure. Eric Ebron in Detroit, if you weren't a believer after week one, well, maybe his week two performance helped to convince you a little bit. Now touchdowns in each of the first two games there for Eric Ebron in Detroit. A lot of people wondering, though, Tom, about Crockett Gilmore in Baltimore. Had a big game this weekend against the Raiders, who I know have had trouble covering the tight end. But anytime you have anybody catching five balls for 88 yards and a couple of scores, and he's available on the waiver wire, he's going to draw some attention. So where are you on Crockett Gilmore and the Ravens?
Well, Gilmore's an interesting guy. I just for this week, at least. He's playing the Bengals this week, and they've struggled to cover the tight ends, so... You know, he's a guy that maybe if you want to stream this week, you could possibly do that. But I don't – they do – the Ravens do need some help at receiver, as we've seen. They're starting
they need somebody.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a guy that you could buy very – you know, I just don't see it, though. The guy isn't – he's a blocker. He's not a pass catcher. Max Williams is that pass catcher type. They're bringing him along slow. I don't think Gilmore has a lot of staying power, but – You know, if you want to take a chance this week, he does have the Bengals. Maybe he continues that success. I think it's possible for at least one more week.
All right, Tom, that's it. Let's wrap this thing up here. Lots of viable options. The complete article, all the waiver wire guys that you might have some interest in, everybody that's going to be available, everybody you might want to take a look at, all there in our waiver wire article up at fantasyguru.com right now for subscribers. So make sure you check that out. For Tom Brawley, I'm Paul Kelly. Good luck in week 3, and we will see you at fantasyguru.com.